Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, Montgomery Mayor Stephen Reed wins re-election. Also, Confederates gather in Wetumpka. What could they be up to? And is the Cannabis Commission smoking their own stash?
Ooh.
Yeah. You better now, man?
Yeah.
You better?
Yeah.
Feel all right, huh?
Up in smoke, baby. Up in smoke. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Hi, guys.
Well, I've said it before, I will say it again. The Cannabis Commission seems to be smoking their own stash, Josh.
Yeah.
There's so many lawsuits and so many angles to this thing that if anybody in the next 5 years gets relief from having a medical marijuana prescribed to them, I'll be shocked, because you got people fighting over all the mistakes the Cannabis Commission has made, and their mistakes would fill a dispensary of weed products.
Yeah, I tell you, I've written so much about weed over the past couple of weeks now, I believe I've gotten a contact high. He's walking around smiling all the time. I don't know what's going on. I'm so happy. But no, it's listen, it is a never-ending story at this point about, and there seems to be no end to the number of things that have been screwed up by the Cannabis Commission in one process or another. It's really pretty wild. If you wanted to screw it up on purpose, I don't know that you could have done a better job.
No, you couldn't. I don't think it's possible. I mean, it is really like Cheech and Chong were in charge. And maybe that's William Webster and Jason Adey are Cheech and Chong in Up in Smoke. But Susan, an interesting thing, you know, we've been concentrating on this Open Meetings Act, the violation of the Open Meetings Act.
They
busted that wide
open. Yeah, they did.
But there's something that new came up when we were looking at some of these court filings, and now there has been a court filing specifically on this, is that when they instituted the 10 megabyte rule, which limited file sizes to 10 megabytes, according to a lawsuit and according to an email we found, they violated the Alabama Administrative Procedures Act, which basically says, you know, if you're going to have a rule or a regulation or anything like that, it has to fit in with the 14th Amendment due process, and they have to have a reason for doing it. It has to be written down, right?
It does. But they violated their own rule here in that they set the... Now, the thing that baffles me here is that Tyler Technologies, who built the portal, came up with this 10 megabytes. Anybody who's done anything with documents and technology in the world knows 10 megabytes is not enough for anything. However, they came up with the 10 megabytes. They made everybody compress stuff to get it to be uploaded to the portal. And then they let people come back and amend their applications after the fact. Some of them were allowed to do it by thumb drive. Some of them were allowed to do it by, just putting in a blank page and then coming back later and uploading stuff after the deadline. And it has become a big deal. It's ridiculous that it was that point, but they broke their own rules in this administration of it.
So, Josh, we also found out this past week about an extenuating circumstances rule, which we did not know they had an extenuating circumstances rule. Right. And what that rule, you were able to file under extenuating circumstances, and then they allowed you to upload more material or different material all the way to March 24th.
Only some people.
4 months, everybody who applied, 4 months after the deadline.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I'm really confused by the whole thing. All right, so look, just so people understand, what we're talking about here is the initial step in this process, okay? This is the portal in which people uploaded their applications to get a license, all right? This is the first thing that they did here. And it was screwed up from the very beginning. And then, yeah, they apparently allowed people to make what is essentially an appeal to say, hey, man, listen, we had a problem with that portal thing, and we would like for you to let us go back in and fix this specific thing, to which they granted several of these, including, I believe, 30 for one company, which basically allowed them to redo their entire application. Yeah. But here's the confusing part to me. So I've talked to William Webster about this stuff. And I found William Webster to be a perfectly normal guy that, you know,
that
tried to explain these things to me, okay? Yeah. All right. But what he told me in this instance is that they allowed people to get around the 10 megabyte file size limitation prior to the deadline. If they had asked prior to the deadline, then they did it. But after the deadline, they didn't let anybody do it. And that's clearly not the case.
That's not true, no.
Yeah, that's clearly not the case at this point, because we see how, you know, two or three companies who did that, and yet then some other companies have filed lawsuits saying, hey, we asked, and they told us no, just flat out. We couldn't change it. So when you start,
and then have
you got to stop this process. You got to do this over.
Then we got the extenuating circumstances thing. We're in his, and their reason for extenuating circumstances is they said, hey, y'all promulgated the 10 megabyte rule without following the Alabama Administrative Procedures Act, you know, which basically is a violation of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution. And so, you know what they did? They said, okay, we'll take yours.
What? Yeah, it's out of hell with all those other people. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. It's been so screwed up from the very beginning, and honestly, that right there, it's unfair. Okay, if you're these are multi-million dollar decisions that are being made here.
Yeah.
Okay, these are multi-million dollar businesses. People have invested their lives into these businesses. No matter what you think about weed or medical marijuana or whatever, and how, you know, in what funny way you want to view it. These are legitimate businesses that are operating all around the country, and they put their faith in this system, and it was obviously broken.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is, if you read the Gemstone suit, you think it's messed up now? Wait till two or three steps down the road when they're having hearings after a decision instead of before a decision.
Yeah, it's insane.
I mean, this thing, and you hit the nail on the head, they're going to have to go back to the original sin, which was the 10 megabyte problem. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to go forward without all these exceptions and these different standards that they put in, whether a contract is being nominated, mm-hmm. awarded, or issued. A license is being nominated, awarded, or issued. Never in the statute did they have those three-step process.
Just one little piece of advice, guys. Open it up to more than 10 meg. That's your first step.
Yeah, well, there you go. The original sin. We're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down, be careful, care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
Welcome back to The Bee, the voice of Alabama politics. The Montgomery mayor's race is one of those situations where you see what was inevitable come to pass. And that was that Stephen Reed, the current mayor, was going to win by a landslide. He won by some 18 points. Yep. Whereas a bunch of rich folks in Montgomery put over $500,000 into a campaign which was destined to be a loser. But Josh, you spent many, many years covering Alabama politics in Montgomery. You lived there. Mm-hmm. What in the world was this all about?
Same old, same old. It's a group of entitled people felt like they had not gotten a fair shake. And when we say fairness, we mean fairness in the old rich white people terms of fairness, which means we're not getting special treatment, so therefore we're getting screwed. And they felt like they were no longer getting this special treatment from the Stephen Reed administration, who had taken it upon himself as the first black mayor of that city to start viewing things through a more equitable lens, as he put it. Start dishing out contracts more equitably. For example, one of the things that angered a lot of the attorneys around there was that they required a certain level of minority participation in law firms that applied for legal contracts with the city. And that really hamstrung some of those old good old boy law firms that were angry about that sort of thing. And so those types of things angered these people, and they went after the mayor with a novice candidate who didn't really have any sort of a chance, and really just divided the city again along racial lines. It was a new school racial campaign in which we talked about crime and the problems and the black mayor and this, you know, and that, and tried to lay, you know, decades of problems at the feet of Stephen Reed. And, yeah, you know, it ended exactly like everybody thought it would, with him winning handily.
One of the interesting things is they ran most of the money through the Home Builders Association, which tells mm-hmm. you that has to do with a lot of good old boy, go ahead and start building, we'll get to your permits later kind yeah. of thing that Stephen Reed is not allowing.
Well, I thought the one thing that he said in his speech that I think everyone should hear and also be proud of is he said, I want to say this, if you're interested in the old Montgomery, that old Montgomery ain't coming back. Mm-hmm. And I think they're on, whether you're white, black, rich, or poor, there should be an end to the old Montgomery. It yep. should be the new Montgomery.
He that speech was so powerful. His acceptance speech was amazing. I was just, you know, dancing on clouds listening to it, because he talked about how, you know, we're not gonna pursue poor people as, you know, being crime. You know, we're going to try to take people and lift them up
yeah.
and find mm-hmm. programs to lift people out of these homeless situations and stuff instead of treating them as criminals. I mean, it was just a very uplifting speech.
Well, and the whole speech was pretty much a very positive, forward-leaning speech, mm-hmm. except for the part where he basically told, you know, the some folks that, hey, you came off to the wrong dude this time.
yeah, you came with the king and you missed. And you know, yeah. and as we learned from The Wire, if you come at the king, you best not miss. And so there are some people that are going to have some hell to pay over that. And you know, and I'll say this, in this particular instance, probably rightfully so, because I know the Reed folks went to them prior to all this happening and said, listen, let's don't have a campaign. We know we're going to win. Let's don't have a campaign that tears the city up again. And they chose a different pathway. And so they're going to have to deal with that now at this point. But yeah, it was a very forward-thinking, very progressive speech, and talking about how they're going to view the city going forward, and how we're not going to punish people for being poor. We're going to lift, they're going to lift from the bottom. And it's a refreshing message, and it's yeah. one that I think a lot of people ought to get behind. And I'll tell you this, if you're discouraged by Stephen Reed talking about equity and fairness, you should ask yourself what it is you're fearing from a level playing field.
Yep. Well, I think he did a good job. I think he's done a good job, and I think he will continue to do a good job. I want to move on to something that I found particularly interesting from a legal standpoint, and also the 11th Circuit, a three-panel of judges on the 11th Circuit this past week decided to let the ban on gender-affirming care for transgender youth to go forward. Alabama has a law that says they will send doctors to jail if they treat transgender youth with medication. This ruling is an anomaly. Every mm-hmm. federal judge that has heard this case, I think there may be one other exception, has stated, saying that the plaintiffs in this case will likely prevail because this is unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to point out that one of the glowing things to me is the Supreme Court not just too recently ruled that you cannot discriminate based on a person being transgender, on transgender sexuality. You mm-hmm. cannot discriminate. That's a Supreme Court rule. I don't know how to get around that. But what I don't understand either, Susan, is how we get around this cruelty towards children and families.
You would think, I was thinking this morning, you know, they talk about transitioning. And I wonder if there are people out there that actually think these drugs cause a female to turn into a male. This is not what this is about. What this is about is puberty blockers that keep females from developing breasts or keep boys from developing facial hair. We're not talking about actually, you know, giving someone so they have different genitalia. That's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about slowing the process here.
I mean, Josh, let me ask you this. When was it that Republicans, so-called conservatives, thought that it was a good idea for the government to come into people's homes and to tell families how they should raise their children and how they should interact with their doctors? Is that, I don't see that as very conservative. I see that as very much pro-big government, sort of big brother, I'll tell you what you're going to do and you're going to listen to me.
Well, it became, honestly, with them, I think it became an issue for them right about the time that they learned that they had no policies that anyone liked. And so they needed some fear tactics to go out and scare the hell out of people and to talk about how this transgender process, care process, was turning little boys into little girls, and they were, you know, mutilating these kids for life when that's clearly not happening. And doctor after doctor after doctor have told state legislature after state legislature and court after court that is not happening. And they have explained in great painstaking detail the years-long steps and processes that we go through with these children. And most of the time, it is in an effort to save their lives because they have become so depressed and so distraught with the way that they feel that their parents are genuinely concerned that they're going to kill themselves every day. And so, right. You know, that's what we're dealing with here, is a group of people who don't give a damn about those kids.
Well, unfortunately, that's the truth. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
My personal biggest pet peeve is kids who are not properly restrained, whether that be in a booster seat, a car seat, or even a simple seatbelt. Kids, they become projectiles, and it's terrifying.
It absolutely breaks my heart to know that something so innocent could be punished so severely.
Your children rely on you to be that person that says, no, you need to put your seatbelt on.
Your home is your most valuable asset, but what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You know, Susan, once in a while, if you're very, very unfortunate, you have a politician in government who is so inept and so incompetent that they make lives of people in America miserable all by their self. Tommy Tuberville, or Coach, as he likes to be called, Senator Coach, is making military families miserable by holding up military promotions, because it's all the way down the chain, and he says he doesn't care. He doesn't care about military promotions. But you know what we found out he does care about? You know, he sits on the Armed Services Committee, and that's how he's able to hold up military promotions. Well, there's a new drug out on the market, Humacyte, that is used to treat battlefield wounds, and it's being used with great success in the Ukraine. It's the first place it's been used widely, great success. Just by chance, Tommy Tuberville, back in July, end of July, bought stock, made three purchases in that company. And since Tuberville made the purchases in that company, the stock has increased by 35%. Mm-hmm. He is a genius.
He is. We see where his priorities are. One of those, these are not small purchases, okay? One of those purchases we've confirmed was over $45,000. And in addition to that, he's gotten into something called XP Inc., which has changed by over 110% in 4 months. Mm-hmm. I think we see where Coach is headed with this. I think it's more of his own bank account he's worried about instead of actually governing.
I mean, to think, Josh, there would be insider trading in the U.S. Senate. Imagine
right.
That.
Yeah, I know, right? Listen, I've had a problem with this for a very long time. And for everybody's full disclosure, I have a problem with it when Nancy Pelosi does it. I have a problem with it when any Democrat does it. And I have a problem with Tommy Tuberville doing it. And if there is ever going to be a test of whether or not this is actually an illegal activity for a sitting U.S. senator or congressperson to take part in, this is the test. Because what Tuberville did here, that people need to understand that this was not like one of the big, you know, bio stocks. Okay, this was not a big pharmaceutical stock out there. But this was basically a penny stock. You had to go searching for this stock. You had to know what you were looking for. You know, this wasn't showing up on somebody's radar necessarily that's putting together your average monthly investment sheet. This is something that you had to know about and something that you had to go out and find. And he did that. And I don't know if they could match up the committee hearings and what information was provided to them in those committee hearings and put it prior to the purchase of this stock, then I think Coach, Senator Coach, which reminds me a whole lot of when Bentley wanted to be called Dr. Bentley. But I mean, it was, you know, so Coach, Senator Coach, or Coach Senator, whatever he would prefer, could have some trouble or not. Because as we've all seen before, when you make the rules are awful lenient on you. And so yes, I'm going to guess that he skates again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just think the people of Alabama have the right to know that their Florida—I mean, their senator
from
who lives in Florida.
Their transient senator,
Yes, sir. Yeah. But not transgender, sir.
That's right.
But,
sure.
But you know, I mean, he's just a disgrace, and that's all there is to it. And he won a popularity contest, and that's all that was. He has no interest in governing. He doesn't know what he's doing, and this is what passes for public service, and that's the problem, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican. That's the problem.
Well, he wanted to continue to be relevant, so he called the guy he knew and said, let's try this senator thing.
Yeah,
well, that's how seriously he took this.
Look, but this is not a Tommy Tuberville problem, okay? People voted for him. The people of this state voted for him, and that's the problem, okay? I'm not telling you you should have voted for a Democrat. You should have. I mean, Doug Jones was eminently more qualified than Tommy Tuberville ever will be. But at the same time, you had other choices that you could have made of people who were going to take the job seriously and get in there and actually do some things for the state. And, you know, at this point, he's our senior senator, and our junior senator is out raising him in appropriations, what, 15 to 1 at this point now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That's well, where we are.
He's now come out and said we have too many generals anyway. He said, you know, in World War II, we only had 7 5-star generals or something. Now we've got 44.
He's such an expert.
Well, you know what? The world was different, Tom, Coach, in World War II. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm going to bet the military was a lot smaller in the 40s.
I'm going to bet that the Joint Chiefs know a lot more about this than he does.
And it was not an all-volunteer army. It was not a professional army. These were men and women, mostly men, who they drug off the farm, put on the front line because they knew how to fire a weapon. You know, they hunted squirrels. But anyway, we got about a minute. I want to talk to about some of our fellow citizens. The Neo-Confederates had a gathering up in Wetumpka underneath the banner of the battle flag of Northern Virginia, the one that you can see from Georgia that's on I-65. And Josh, Susan, I'll go to you on this one. They said that they're getting ready to basically defend our freedom. And one of the freedoms they want to defend is biblical Christian foundation of Southern people.
Yeah, they want this to be what they're raising and educating children with. Now, the interesting part here is they didn't let the media around this.
No.
They didn't want people to know what they actually said. So these people get a little scary here. But yeah, they're trying to defend the biblical Christian foundation of Southern people and restore it and control the raising and education of our children.
And they're also worried about them removing a monument at Arlington Cemetery that has some Confederate bones or something in it. They're worried about that. There's no indication that's happening. Josh, 30 seconds, last word.
Oh, listen, I can assure you that the one thing that if you got were able to get in there and listen to what was said, the one word that you would come out thinking is smart. Smart. That's a real group of smart people that really know a lot of stuff. I bet there were some math competitions in the back rooms over there. They probably really did some really cool things. So, yeah.
Well,
so smart. A couple of chess tournaments. Yeah.
I'm sure there were some spelling bees and some door prizes based on that. But anyway, bless their heart, as my mother used to say, because we don't know what else to do with them.
No.
You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us, because we watch them.